Welcome back to the series titled Lost in Translation. I trust this has been an informative teaching thus far. Keep in mind that my goal is not having you only gain more biblical knowledge or fill up another notebook with notes from the Bible. My goal is that this information transforms your life in that you live out the scriptures that you know, and you live them out in such a way that others see the Word in your life. The title of our series indicates that some of the biblical information has been lost and is not in our English Bibles. Some of what has been lost in translation may be considered insignificant or minor, and therefore are not truly relevant to believers today. I would challenge anyone that holds to that point of view. As we proceed through this study today, keep in the forefront of your minds a passage from the Epistle of James, chapter 1, verse 22. And this passage reads, "Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to the word. Instead, put it into practice," and that is from the Good News Translation. If we do not understand the word correctly, then how are we to put it into practice? If I read the Bible as if it was written by a 21st century author from the United States, do you think I would misunderstand what the original author meant when his words were penned in a different culture thousands of years ago? Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. And the King James Version states this verse this way, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." Now, allow me to read this verse to you from a couple of other translations, English translations, of course. This is from the NIV, the New International Version. "For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." The next one is the ESV, the English Standard Version. "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished." One last one, this is the CJB, the Complete Jewish Bible. "Yes, indeed, I tell you that until heaven and earth pass away, not so much as a yod or a stroke will pass from the Torah, not until everything that must happen has happened." Now, what's the difference between these English translations? The first few words in each translation are essentially the same. They set the foundation for the words that will follow. The King James says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away." The NIV, "For truly I tell you, not until heaven and earth disappear." And the ESV, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away." And the CBJ, "Yes, indeed, I tell you that heaven and earth pass away." Yes, indeed, I tell you that until heaven and earth pass away. These first few words set the stage for what follows. What follows will be in force until the current heaven and earth pass away. Go outside, look up, see the sun. If it's at night, look at the stars. They're still there. They have not yet passed away. So fully grasp the truth of what is being said. That is, the last few words of this single verse will be our reality until what takes place? Until the current heaven and earth disappear. The last few words do indeed change based upon which English translation is read. This change is significant. Now I'm just going to look at the last portion of these same four English translations. The King James, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The NIV, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. The ESV, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. And the CBJ, not so much as a yod or a stroke will pass from Torah, not until everything that must happen has happened. The concern about what is missed in translation is only significant if you have been incorrectly taught. Allow me to explain. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, the Lord Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, told his disciples that not one jot or tittle will pass away from the law until all is fulfilled. The word translated jot refers to the smallest Hebrew letter, the yud. The word translated tittle refers to the horn of a letter, or the smallest stroke of a Hebrew letter. The horn, just to give you a reference point, is similar to a serif in modern English typefaces. Next time you pull up Microsoft Word, select font serif, type a letter, hit enter, now go up and select sans serif, without serifs, and type a letter and look at the difference. There is a difference. That's what it's saying, that the smallest stroke of a Hebrew letter is important to God the Father, the ultimate author of the book. So basically, the smallest stroke of the pen is important to the Lord God. Therefore, we cannot be so subjective with the words of the Bible. Our next lesson, we will address a Hebrew word that's in the English. Our next lesson will address a Hebrew word that is in the Hebrew Bible. However, it is never translated into any of our English Bibles. And this word is found in Genesis 1:1. Yet it has powerful connotations and powerful relationship to some of the things that John wrote in his revelation. So that's our next lesson. This Hebrew word, it is never translated into English. Now, it is the Hebrew letters that the Messiah was referring to in this passage in Matthew 5:18. It is not in any way the Greek language, nor is it in any way our English. All the emphasis from the Messiah is upon the Hebrew Bible. The jot and the tittle he is talking about. And all the other translations try to change it to the smallest letter, or an iota, or a least stroke of a pen. It just takes away from what's being stressed by the Messiah. He is pointing us back to the Hebrew lettering that is in the Word of God. One more word in this passage, in my opinion, has actually opened the door for a great deal of false teaching, and in my opinion has been party to what I call end time deception. It has to do with the English word L-A-W. law. Now, go ahead, say it out loud. Tell me right now, as you're listening, what is the definition of the word law in this verse? Go ahead, what is it? What does the word law mean? Does it mean Mosaic law? Or does it refer to Judaism or Judaism as a whole? Or maybe in your mind, what you've been taught, maybe it refers to the entire section of the Bible we call the Old Testament. Unless you've been exposed to teachings associated to the Hebraic roots of the whole Bible, you have not been taught correctly. Why? Something important has been lost in translation in this verse if we do not understand that one word, that one English word, L-A-W. Now, go to your concordance, look up this verse, and see what it says in Greek, all these words mean. And look at the one that is translated into the English word law. You will find that the Greek word actually has multiple possible applications. It may mean scripture in a general sense, or it may mean just the first five books of scripture, which is the Torah. Or it could refer to any system of religion or theology or religious practices. Some concordance may even tell you that in the Greek, the meaning is determined by the context of the sentence. The Hebrew word that is the root of what's translated here in this passage is Torah. Torah refers to the first five books of the Bible. Torah means teachings. The Hebrew word Torah never means law, and it should never be translated into the English word law. Torah always means teachings. In particular, biblical teachings. Of the four translations we have used, the Complete Jewish Bible is the only one that has the correct translation in English. Now, read this verse with its correct biblical translation. Matthew 5:18. Yes, indeed, I tell you that until heaven and earth pass away, not so much as a yod or a stroke will pass from Torah, not until everything that must happen has happened. Perhaps one day we will look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, using the correct English word, which is teachings from Torah. And you will be given opportunity to shift in what you thought the scripture teaches. That's another day. Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua, did not come to abolish the teachings of the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. And in this passage, he's not talking about the Mosaic law. He's only talking about biblical teachings from the first five books of the Bible. We are all saved by grace, and the whole Bible contains teachings that are applicable to us today. For example, the Sabbath is still Saturday. I don't care what you have been taught. The Word of God has never changed the Sabbath from the seventh day of the week. Killing the unborn is still murder. I don't care about your opinion concerning abortion being okay in certain situations. Murder is murder. And the covenant given to Abraham is still in force today. Before we leave this portion of today's teaching, allow me to read a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The context is the recounting of Moses leading Israel out of Egypt. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Now, this is the King James. The King James states, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." All English translations I looked at had either Christ or the Messiah as the rock that led Israel out of bondage. Now let that settle into your theological understanding of the Word of God. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, led Israel out of their bondage they were experiencing for 400 years in Egypt. Even though it is as plain on the nose of our faces, have you ever been taught that the Messiah led Israel out of Egypt? Remember that it is Greek thinking that looks at time in a linear manner. Biblical Hebrew views time as cyclical. Therefore, the nation of Israel, the Hebrews, they were not looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. They were enjoying His presence in their midst then and there. The covenant the Lord made with Abraham, his son Isaac, his grandson Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, was sealed with the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2, states this very clear for us. The King James says, "Her iniquity is pardoned," the NIV, "and her sin has been paid for." Faithful Israel, not all of Israel, but faithful Israel has been and are being saved by the Messiah, just like you and me. When we view time in a biblical manner, not moving from the left, the past, to the right, the future, but in cycles, when one cycle of time is looped with other cycles of time, Scripture becomes clearer. And we can see a little bit clearer between how God interacts with faithful Israel and with the faithful among us today who are not descendants of Jacob. It is the unfaithful humans, both Jew and Gentile, that stand to be harshly judged by the Creator. Being faithful to obeying His word as it is written is what's important. Sadly, this concept and some of the words are lost in translation. Well, we have reached the end of our time together. May the Lord watch over you until we meet again.